I think it's funny. You say Halloween, which like some people say it like that. And I say Halloween.
Halloween. Halloween.
And I've always wondered why some people say it differently, if that's like a regional thing.
Yeah.
Or like...
I've never thought of that before. Halloween. Halloween. It's Halloween. It's Halloween. I think I say Halloween. I think I've always said Halloween. 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 Now I don't know which I say.
Did you get that? I'm so confused.
Also, ich verstehe nur Bahnhof.
You only understand train station? It's all Greek to me.
Understanding train station. Living between cultures with Josh and Phelan.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Understanding Train Station.
Welcome back. Today, it's going to be a themed episode. I already got ready. You can't really see. Hold on. It's kind of trying to get the colors right.
It says pump, I think. Okay.
Well, I should have gotten a more proper coffee cup, I guess, but I got a pumpkin spice latte, which I don't really drink coffee, actually, but these things aren't really coffee. You can't really call that coffee.
I'm not drinking a coffee, but I have a tea.
Yeah, because you're sick again, which really sucks.
Welcome to my life.
Or still, were you fine in between?
I feel like I never got to 100% healthy. I felt fine, like I was comfortable doing everything and didn't really feel sick, but I had coworkers who were commenting that I still sounded a little congested. Mm-hmm. But now you can definitely hear that I'm congested again, so that's fun. But
I feel like it kind of
such
fits
is life,
episode,
I suppose.
Though. Yeah, I feel like it kind of fits, though, because it's like definitely a fall-themed and Halloween-themed episode today.
I just was going to say, I feel like it's more, even more of a Halloween theme than fall theme necessarily, but yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I feel like Halloween just has a close connection to
100%.
Fall theme. Because everything like pumpkin technically is just like a fall tradition, I think. And they just over time just kind of connected it with Halloween. Because I mean, pumpkins per se aren't necessarily scary or anything like that.
No,
and neither are pumpkin spice lattes or pumpkin pie or... whatever you might find during this season. But yeah, so that's today's theme. I was actually surprised that we didn't do a Halloween episode last year, but then I realized that we had just started the podcast. As you just said, we just celebrated our one-year anniversary this last Friday. We did a live stream on Instagram for that. We should have probably announced that earlier in the podcast itself, but the thing is we didn't really think of it before. It was like the night before that I was like, oh, it's our anniversary.
I'm so happy you remembered that, though.
Yeah. That was like a big date last year. So I was like, wait, October 22nd? That kind of rings a bell.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did a live
stream. Oh, I remember how
cool
that was, too. I mean, we didn't really talk about this much in the live stream, but I remember like we were at your house when we launched the first episode, I think.
Yeah.
In the channel. And then I remember I went to get some food close by to where you live. And then I came back and like we already had a whole bunch of subscribers and we were so excited. That was a really fun time.
Yeah, that was really cool. But I think because of that, we didn't really just want to start the podcast with a Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. So we never really talked about Halloween. I did do a video on Halloween on my channel last year. So it's just like a 10-minute kind of summarized video. So if you guys want to check that out, I'm going to link it somewhere down below in the YouTube description or like up here in the little eye. If you're listening on audio streams, then you can just find the link in the show notes. But we'll probably like kind of repeat all of those things today as well.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Also, you may notice in my background, if you're watching on YouTube, I finally got some light bulbs.
Woo-hoo!
Which I was so excited about. Then I came home, like I talked to the lady at the store, like got her advice on which type of light bulb I should get. And I was just like, okay, great. I'm all set. I just have to go home and put them in. And I put them in and I turn on the light and they all flash really bright and then go really, really, really like out basically. So
okay.
I don't think I broke them because now when I turn them on, it still does that. It'll flash really bright and then get really dim. And you can see that they're on, but they're very, very light. So if there are any electrical people out there who are listening to us, I'd be happy for some advice on what I could do besides just take the light bulbs back. Because they're kind of cool light bulbs too. They're not your like just standard white light bulbs. So I was excited about them and then now
they
don't work.
Are they LEDs?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Interesting. I've never seen that happening. That honestly, that kind of fits the theme also because that sounds
exactly
kind of creepy.
Exactly. So I was excited about that. But now I just have my standing light, if you will, that is lighting up the room.
Yeah, it's getting dark so early now.
Oh, it's horrible. And we're just about to have the time change this coming weekend as well.
Oh, yeah. You guys do. We don't yet. Yeah. That's always funny because there is always, I think in the spring, there's a 2-week difference between the time change in Germany and the US. And then in the fall, it's 1 week, I believe.
I remember we've had this discussion before. For whatever reason, I think in my brain, it was 1 week both times, but I don't know.
It's definitely not. Because last time it happened, I was like, see, I knew it was 2 weeks. I didn't say that to you. I just said that to myself.
But yeah, so we have the time change. So it's going to get, let's see, you fall forward. So it's going to get even darker earlier.
Earlier, yeah.
Which is not going to be fun.
No.
But such is life. C'est la vie. Which I can say now, thanks to the fact that I took another class with Lingoda.
Congratulations.
Thank you. For those of you who don't know, Lingoda is a language learning platform that actually sponsors us on our podcast. So thank you, Lingoda.
Yes.
In the past couple episodes, we've been talking about the Lingoda Sprint and the Super Sprint that was going on, or currently actually is going on, but the sign-up period for that is now over. However, that doesn't mean that you can't continue to take classes with Lingoda and sign up to keep learning and maybe even see me in one of your French classes. Essentially, there are two options which you can sign up for to continue learning with Lingoda outside of the Sprint. One of the versions, or option one, would be a monthly subscription, which is a flexible learning option which you can cancel or change at any time. The subscription options start from €8 or $9.50 per class, and it's based off of monthly payments. Option number two is the marathon courses, which you commit to upfront and can earn up to €400 in cash back if you meet all of the requirements. Those have a couple different options. There's the 3-month option, the 6-month option, and the 12-month option, and those start from €6 or $6.75 per class, and that's with a one-time upfront payment.
You can also get a discount, because of course we have a discount for you. We'll say that at the end. If you don't know what Lingoda really looks like, if you can't really picture it, it's basically face-to-face learning, even though you're not going to be there in person, which is obviously perfect because we're still in the middle of a pandemic. A year and a half later, we're still there. But also, you can take classes from all over the world, really. Currently, they offer classes in English, business English, which is really cool because obviously a lot of you guys already speak pretty good English. But if you want to go a little bit further and learn some extra vocab or phrases that might be useful for job situations, they also offer Spanish, French, and German, of course. They're actually located in Berlin, which is really cool. But all of their teachers are native speakers. So if you take a Spanish class, it'll be a Spanish native speaker. Or if you take a French class, it'll be a French native speaker, which is the one thing that Josh has experience with. So how was your second class?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, one of the cool things, like you said, is the class sizes are really small. So my first class was very small. I think we're 5 of us in the class at a maximum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the max. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was a full class. And what was really cool was a French guy who was the teacher, but he lived in Mexico and was teaching a whole bunch. We were all Americans in the class, but we pretty much all lived in Europe. So it just was a very weird combination, but really fun. And then my second class was even more intimate. It was with another French person, obviously. And this French person lived in Turkey, but was teaching us French. And it was 2 Americans who lived here in Germany. So it was very much kind of international, but really, really intimate. And you could ask a lot of questions. And he was really excited to help us and make sure we understood the content he was teaching us. So far, my experience has been great. So far, my experience has been great so far.
Yeah, we're really doing great today with the speaking words. But what was the topic in the class?
Yeah, this past class was family members, which I already had some exposure to, but I definitely learned some new words, especially with step-parent, like your stepfather, stepmother. And then one weird thing about French is that they have the same word for stepmother and mother-in-law. So it's just...
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So it's just a matter of the context in which it's being used.
Yeah.
And that was something that was really interesting for me to learn and obviously helped to speak with a native speaker about it and learn from that. And one thing that was really cool then was right after I was done with my course, I was able to go and then talk to my French roommate a little and practice some of the stuff that I had learned, which is an advantage that I have.
That's really helpful. Yeah. Not everyone has a French roommate or a roommate in the language that you're trying to learn. But really, with these Zoom classes on Lingoda, you'll be practicing your listening comprehension. You'll be practicing your speaking a lot, as Josh just said, reading, writing, and as we also just talked about, culture as well, which I always find it so interesting that, like, language concepts also represent cultural concepts. Mm-hmm. As in, like, this example where you said they use the same word for those two things, which kind of probably means that in the French culture, they feel like those are two very similar things, very similar roles,
very
of, like, a step mom and mom-in-law. That's what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's just always so interesting to me, how, like, some languages have, like, three different words for three different things, and then another language has just the same word, and therefore people who grow up with that language don't even make the difference in their head, because in their language, it's all the same thing. But anyways, that's, like, another story. Now, as I said, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but that's one of the great advantages of Lingoda, is the fact that you have a native speaker right there to answer those questions when you get confused, and they give you that firsthand knowledge from their culture. I can only speak Lingoda's praises in that regard.
And as I said before, you can also get a discount with our code, and the code is UTS30 for Understanding Train Station, UTS30. And with that, you'll get 30% off on either the marathon or the first month of your monthly subscription. And for the marathon, you can actually, in addition to that, also get cashback rewards, just like for the sprint. So just look into that, because that's definitely also a really, really good additional motivation for making sure that you actually commit to your language learning progress, which is really, really important if you actually want to, you know, become fluent in the language. But sometimes, as we all know, life gets in the way and it's just tricky to actually follow through with it. But with these, like, cashback rewards, that might be just the extra little piece of motivation that you might need. So again, the code is UTS30, and the code is also in the show notes and in the description box below on YouTube. Just click on that code and sign up. Have fun.
Enjoy, and I'll see you there.
That'd be so weird. I mean, like, not weird. It may have already happened. But maybe. But, like, just imagine you're, like, in that class, and suddenly someone goes, "Hey, hi, Josh. I know you from the podcast."
It would be a weird experience for me.
Yeah. That's always kind of weird as, like, a creator. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter how big or small you are, but other people kind of know you from listening to your content, and they know personal stories mm-hmm. that you've shared, but you don't know them.
At all.
No.
It's happened to me once. It's probably happened to you, obviously, more than just that once. But the first and only time that it happened to me, I was very uncomfortable. Like, at first I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. But then I was like, oh, wait, this is, like, very, very awkward. I mean, it's not a bad thing by any means. It just was, like, a little awkward, which made me uncomfortable.
But no, in your situation, it was like the person was at a party, right?
Yeah.
So you were with that person at the same party the whole night. I feel like if someone just, like, runs into you in the streets and says hello, and maybe you take a picture with them or something, that's, like, cool. That's really nice. That's awesome. But if you then spent the whole night with that person at the same, like, party at an apartment, I can see how that would be kind of, like, uncomfortable in a way.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, in the end it was fine and the guy was super nice. It just was, like, an awkward situation, I think, for him and for me.
Yeah. But okay, so now we actually thought that to set the mood for this Halloween episode, we would tell you guys some, in German I would say, Gruselgeschichten or Geistergeschichten, mm-hmm. so, like,
ghost stories, scary stories.
Ghost stories. Do you say spooky stories? No, right?
I suppose you could. I my go-to would be scary stories.
Scary, yeah. But spooky is, like, one of the words that we really like to use in German as well, because it kind of hits that that certain, like, Halloween connotation that we mm-hmm. don't really have in any of the words in German.
Yeah.
So spooky is a really cool word. But anyways, I will be reading a story to you guys in German. So for those of you who don't speak German, you can either just look at the time codes in the description and skip ahead. We'll summarize it briefly afterwards, or just listen and maybe enjoy the sound of the language. I know that many people don't like what German sounds like, but some people actually do. And then there will be a horror story read by Josh in English afterwards.
I don't know about horror. It would be spooky.
Or scary. A spooky, scary ghost story.
There you go. It's like doing ASMR.
Okay, also ab jetzt auf Deutsch kurz. Und ich habe Gruselgeschichten rausgesucht, die man so von früher kennt. Ich weiß nicht, wie es bei dir war, Josh, aber in Deutschland, wenn man irgendwo in einem Ferienlager war oder auch so einfach irgendwie im Lagerfeuer mit Freunden zusammensaß, war es halt echt üblich damals so als Kind oder frühe Teenagerjahre, dass halt jeder irgendwie so Gruselgeschichten erzählt hat. Und da gab es halt einfach so eine bestimmte Auswahl an Gruselgeschichten, die halt irgendwie jeder dann kannte nach einer Zeit. Also so Klassiker. Gab es das bei euch auch?
Ja, das ist eine gute Frage. Ich glaube eher nicht. Also es kann sein, dass halt mein Freundeskreis ein bisschen anders war, aber eher nicht.
Aber so nicht im Summer Camp oder sowas?
Doch. Also dass man neben dem Lagerfeuer saß und solche Geschichten erzählt hat, auf jeden Fall. Aber dass es so Standardgeschichten gibt, eher nicht. Mhm. Also in meinem Fall musste ich dann ein bisschen auf Reddit suchen, um lustige Geschichten zu finden.
Okay, also die erste Geschichte, die ich jetzt erzähle, wir werden nämlich am Ende auch nochmal eine erzählen, ist auf jeden Fall eine von denen, die wahrscheinlich viele Leute von euch schon mal gehört haben. Ich habe mir jetzt keine von den super krassen ausgesucht, weil es gibt auch echt ein paar, die sind ziemlich heftig. Es ist immer noch ganz schön heftig, aber man weiß halt auch irgendwie, dass es so nicht stattgefunden hat, deswegen ist es dann nicht ganz so schlimm. Also, die Geschichte heißt Schwarze Rosen. Die Mutter einer vierköpfigen Familie kauft jeden Morgen im Blumenladen für jedes Familienmitglied eine Rose. Eines Tages ist aber die Verkäuferin verschwunden und ein seltsamer Mann steht hinter dem Tresen. Als sie nach den Rosen fragt, meint der Mann, sie hätten nur noch schwarz zu verkaufen. Die Frau willigt ein, da sie nicht mit ihrer Tradition brechen möchte. Sie stellt am Abend jedem der Familienmitglieder die Rose auf den Nachttisch. Nach der ersten Nacht ist plötzlich die Tochter verstorben. Nach der zweiten der Sohn und am Morgen des dritten Tages erwacht die Frau neben ihrem toten Mann. In der Folgenacht legt sie sich ein Messer unter das Kopfkissen. Mitten in der Nacht kommt aus der Rose ein schwarzer Arm und will nach ihrem Hals greifen. Die Frau erwacht, zieht ihr Messer und schneidet den Arm ab. Am nächsten Morgen sind plötzlich alle Rosen weg. Sie geht in den Blumenladen, um neue Blumen zu kaufen und trifft wieder auf den seltsamen Mann. Doch etwas ist anders. Ihm fehlt der rechte Arm.
Dum, 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 dum. Ja, das ist schon ein bisschen unheimlich, ne? Schon ziemlich cool.
Ja, aber es ist nicht eine der ganz krassen Storys von damals.
Nee, aber finde ich cool. Also, keine Ahnung, also eine solche Geschichte habe ich seit langem zum Beispiel nicht gehört. Und ja, also sehr lustig.
Okay, jetzt, hohoho, wie lustig. jetzt kannst du einen auf Englisch erzählen und genau. Ich glaube, du musst, entweder schaust du, dass dein Tisch nicht knarzt, ja, oder du setzt einen als Soundeffekt.
Nee, also ich fasse es dann diesmal nicht an. So now switching to English.
Oh, should I summarize the story real quick that I told? It's pretty easily told. Sure. So the story was called Black Roses, and it's a mom that always buys roses and for her whole family, and one day they only have black roses, and it's a different vendor or a salesperson. And then every morning another family member doesn't wake up because they die overnight. And then since it's only her left, she has the roses on her nightstand, and that night she goes to sleep with a knife underneath her pillow, and then at night she sees an arm come out of the black rose and try to choke her, and then she cuts off the arm, and then the next day she goes back to the flower store and the salesperson only has one arm left.
Dun, dun, dun. So okay. Mine is a little different. Like I said, I looked on Reddit to see if there were some good scary stories. So I'm obviously going to be reading it from this person's perspective. It's not my story. But the story is called I don't know how you actually pronounce this. For whatever reason, I always said Ouija board as opposed to Ouija board, but I guess it's spelled.
Yeah, I think it's Ouija.
Ouija board. So pardon my pronunciation if I slip back into the improper pronunciation. But yes, this is called The Ouija Board Knocks Back. In high school, my friends and I were messing around with a Ouija board one night. We had done it before, and nothing remarkable had ever happened. We usually did it to try to scare each other or our girlfriends. We all thought it was a joke. That night, there was no one else home except the seven of us, and we were all together around the board. One of the girls there wanted to try it. She had never done it before. This time was different. The board misspelled some of the words the same way every time. It gave answers that seemed really historically accurate for our town, things we neither knew or cared about. Long story short, the spirit, quote unquote, claimed it was a 10-year-old boy who had died on the property in the 1800s and was buried there in an unmarked grave. My friend's house was on a farm in the edge of town. We were all a little freaked out because the board had never been so detailed and consistent. However, we were still skeptical, and we were all assuming one of our friends was trying to scare us. Finally, my friend asked if the spirit could do something to prove he was there with us. It went to yes, and then spelled out K-N-O-C-K, knock. Then the planchette stopped moving. We all stared at it silently, and then there was a rap, rap, rap on the window right next to us. The lights were on outside, and there was absolutely no one there. We never touched that effing board again.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, I was totally waiting for that boy to show up now.
He runs across the stage. But that's actually, it reminds me of one of the stories from Cincinnati, actually. Cincinnati, yeah. Music Hall. So Cincinnati Music Hall is actually supposed to be one of the most haunted buildings in the U.S., because it was actually built on top of a cemetery from a mental asylum.
And I've heard that before.
And apparently there are resident ghosts there that people see on a regular basis. There's supposed to be a little boy who sits in one of the boxes in the audience. And then I think there's a woman who walks on stage every once in a while. So I don't know if you believe in that or what. If you don't believe in it, well, that's what people say. Maybe they're just imagining it. But it just, the little boy made me think of the Music Hall story.
Yeah, I would like to honestly see those ghosts. I like to believe in that. I personally actually do believe in ghosts. And I'm like not sure if I've seen ghosts as a kid because I have memories of like really weird things that I saw at my house as a kid.
Yeah.
But it's like looking back, it's kind of hard to know whether I just imagined it or if it was even a dream.
Exactly.
Or if I actually saw something. Because I feel like if anything, if those things are real, which I personally like to believe, I would think that kids and animals and more like innocent creatures are more perceptive for those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have like one memory where like if that was real, that would be kind of freaky, where like I was sleeping in my parents' bedroom and then in my memory I woke up. So maybe I actually woke up or I dreamed that I was waking up, which is also a thing, right? And I woke up and then I saw a woman kind of dressed in like very old-fashioned clothing walk through the bedroom with like a stroller and a kid, I think, walking next to her, if I remember correctly. And it looked like, you know, out of, I don't even know, like maybe the 19th or 18th century or something like that. And so either I had just seen something like that on TV or it looked like a doll that I had seen somewhere. I don't know. But I remember that to this day. And I must have been like 3 or something like before.
I mean, I definitely, I try to stay open and believe that I think those type of things definitely could exist. And I have had a few experiences myself where I feel like I've seen things, but who knows? Yeah. Like you said, maybe it's just something that like I imagined, but also with like the kids being more perceptive, that's one of the kind of the story with Cincinnati Music Hall. If you look it up on the internet, you'll find like a couple of stories about them. And there was one story of a dad and his child. I think it was just the two of them. I think it was one of the caretakers was the dad of the property, and his son was there. And his son points up at one of the boxes and says, "Dad, who's that boy waving at us?" And his dad looks and doesn't see anyone. And he says, "Who are you talking about?" And he says, "That boy right there. You don't see him?" So, yeah, I don't know. It's a little creepy, but who knows if it's real or not. But, yeah, those are our two stories to get us in the mood for Halloween. And I definitely am now in the mood.
I think so. Yeah, me too. And I mean, Halloween weekend is now coming up. When this episode comes out, it's Thursday, which means that here in the US, it's about to be crazy. It's already crazy, actually. That's like the first thing that I wanted to mention in regards to this topic is that Americans are crazy about Halloween. And if you thought you already knew just from like seeing it on media, you don't know until you get here. But it's insane.
That's one thing that interests me, Feli, is because me having grown up with it, I mean, you say they get crazy about it, but for me, it's just normal. What do you think Americans do that is particularly crazy around Halloween?
So it's just, I mean, Americans are very intense with all of their holidays. So that's a thing for other holidays as well. But basically, as soon as October 1st hits, even like end of September for some people, you'll just see the Halloween decorations pop up everywhere. And if you guys have seen like the crazy decorated Christmas houses on YouTube and stuff that go like all out, that have the kind of timed light shows and stuff on their houses that have Santa on the roof and everything's full of reindeers and stuff like that. You can kind of picture that for Halloween with a lot of the houses. Not every house, but basically you'll see Halloween decoration pretty much on every other house. And then some houses are insane where like the whole front yard is just full. They have like a whole collection of blow up decoration and tombstones and I don't like spider webs, everything that you can just imagine hung up all over their house. So that's one thing. And also at the stores, it's super present too. Sorry, what did you
want
to say?
Just about that real quick. I mean, I had one neighbor who really used to always go all out and he like basically built a whole graveyard in his front yard. And then I remember like it was really fitting with the fall time too, because at this point people were raking up their leaves from the trees that have fallen from the trees. And he had like these big I remember he had these big orange bags that he would fill with the leaves, and then he turned them into spiders. Then he had like a zip line for a ghost, like a skeleton ghost, that when you would go to trick or treat, like you set off a sensor, he had like a button and he could make it come towards you and little kids would freak out. And yeah, so people do go all out when it comes to decoration. That's for sure.
It's it's crazy. And like at the stores too, that's a thing that I've always found funny. And I may have mentioned this before. The stores will be full of Halloween decoration and costumes and pumpkin carving kits and everything that you can just think of. Also, probably even starting in September already. And what I find funny about that is that a lot of the stores here have like kind of a decoration aisle, whether it's Target or Kroger, also really any kind of store. And that decoration aisle just seems to never not have a purpose. I feel like Americans always have a purpose for that. So basically, right after Halloween, it'll go into Thanksgiving kind of, and then like slash Christmas basically right away. So it'll be kind of just holiday decoration right after, and that will go on for like over a month. Then that will usually change right into, I feel like, Valentine's Day already. I don't know what they do in January, honestly. I have to pay attention to that, but I feel like mid-January they turn everything to Valentine's Day stuff. Then after that, I want to say they just go right to Easter. And then I don't know what they do between Easter and like 4th of July, because 4th of July is big.
I think they can just get people ready for summer.
Yeah, maybe summer stuff. Maybe they do like Memorial Day stuff also.
Yeah.
Which would probably also just be kind of patriotic.
I'm not a huge decoration person, so I don't really pay attention to it that much. But now that you're saying that, I mean, they have a very strict schedule that they follow. Then there's like a back after the summer, there's a back to school time. It's very much, they have a strict schedule that they follow and they have a lot of decorations. And I mean, around Halloween time, it's full of decorations and costumes and candy, lots and lots of candy.
Oh, yeah.
One statistic I read in preparing for this is that 1/4 of the candy sales in the United States yearly, 1/4 of the annual candy sales in the US comes strictly from Halloween.
That's insane. I mean, I can see that it would be a lot, but a quarter is a lot. I mean, they do have like these crazy sales also for the candy. They'll have like the big packs, like mixed packs and stuff like that. All the candy will be on sale. So like, it kind of makes sense, even though actually if you want to stock up just on candy for yourself, then you should wait until after Halloween, because then a lot of that stuff will be on sale even more. But yeah, a lot of families actually do get these like huge buckets full of candy to give out to the kids, because trick-or-treating is a very big thing here. But one of the like main things that just baffles me every single year, I mean, I'm kind of getting used to it now, but it's just that Americans like to celebrate things for so long. Like, people set up their Christmas tree super early, and it's the same with Halloween. As I said, as soon as it's October 1st, people kind of like to celebrate Halloween for a whole month. And that's just this kind of like extreme mentality that we don't really have in Germany. Like, we don't celebrate things for a whole month very often. I mean, we do kind of do it with Christmas, but we talked about it in the Christmas episode. We don't really set up the tree until like shortly before Christmas, or we even, my family, we set it up on Christmas Eve, for example. So it's always baffling to me how this goes on for so long.
Yeah, I feel like at least in my neighborhood or in my family, we didn't really draw it out too much, but like it would be a big fall celebration, which then culminates in Halloween. Well, I say culminates, but that's not necessarily even true, because then you have Thanksgiving as well. But yeah, it's definitely like the introduction into the fall season with Halloween.
Yeah. I think it's funny. You say Halloween, which like some people say it like that. And I say Halloween.
Halloween.
And I've always wondered why some people say it differently, if that's like a regional thing.
Yeah.
Or like,
I've never thought of that before. Halloween. Halloween. It's Halloween. It's Halloween. I think I say Halloween. I think I've always said Halloween. Well, I mean, this is a good opportunity for us to talk as well where the name comes from, or where the holiday even comes from.
Because that's the connection.
Exactly. And I think that might be why I say it that way. So Halloween originally comes from a Celtic celebration in which came from then like the British Isles in northern France, which was then kind of mixed with the Roman traditions. And then the Pope kind of tried to make it a Christianized holiday by combining it with...
Yeah, I mean, they really, like, the Catholic Church just came in and, like, tried to take all these, like, already existing traditions and pagan rituals and stuff like that and, like, kind of combine it with their holidays.
Make, like, an amalgamation of the two. So the Catholic holiday, which actually is a holiday here, at least in Bavaria, I don't know about the rest of Germany, Allerheiligen, which is on the 1st of November... in English is All Saints Day. But another word for saint, which is an old word, is hallow. So, or hollow. So like all, how would you say it?
I think it's All Hallows Day. And then there's All Hallows Eve, I believe.
So All Hallows Eve or All Hallows Eve. Now I don't know which I say, is obviously the day then before All Saints Day. And then it just got shortened over the years to become Halloween or Halloween, whichever you say. Am I the only one that you've noticed that says Halloween, or do other people say it too?
No, other people say it too, even though I'm not quite sure if I can think of anyone personally right now, but I've been watching a lot of Modern Family recently. And for those of you who know the show Modern Family, it's like a comedy show. And on that show, the character of Cam also always says Halloween. And he says it's very... significantly, so you can just clearly hear the difference between him saying it and everyone else on the show saying it.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe for the Germans or non-native English speakers who are listening, the word the weird thing is I would normally say hallow, is a word for like something sacred. So like you could say these hallowed halls. So these sacred halls of, I don't know, like a church, for example, or some sort of institution. So yeah, I don't know. That's weird. I just was thinking it's weird that I say hallow, but I say Halloween.
I personally just always thought that was interesting. And also I personally kind of feel like the way that you say it makes it seem even more like special. Like it makes it sound cooler almost. It's like,
that's why I say it that
I
way.
I don't know. I don't want to say it's pretentious because it's not in a negative way, but it's like, it sounds intellectual. Halloween.
It's perfectly fitting to me. Now I'm going to be so self-conscious about the way I say that. It's the same thing with Thanksgiving. Some people say Thanksgiving and some people say Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've never heard the second version.
Yeah, I think it's more of a Southern thing to say Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. But I only know people saying Thanksgiving. But anyways, so yeah, for me as a German coming to the US, it's definitely like just extremely present. But I wanted to kind of give you the chance to talk about it because you're the American. Yeah. You grew up with this. So like, what do you connect with Halloween? What comes up? What does Halloween season mean to you?
Halloween season to me, definitely. The first thing that came to mind was actually a picture that I have with my mom from preschool. So we had like a day where our parents came to preschool and we would carve pumpkins. And that's something that we also did at home, or jack-o'-lanterns. We would make jack-o'-lanterns.
And which are just basically the carved pumpkins where you just put the face in it, right?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a face. Traditionally, you would make a face in it. But for me, a jack-o'-lantern is just a carved pumpkin with a light in it.
Okay, I just, for some reason, I always thought that that term is specifically for those with the face. I guess I must have just understood that wrong.
It could be that I'm wrong too. I don't really know, but that's just my general perception of when I hear jack-o'-lantern.
No, you're probably right. I just always, I don't know, for some reason, just made that connection there. But yeah, I mean, that's like what, if we think of a carved pumpkin in Germany, I think that's what we think of anyways with the light inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, I remember like cutting open the top and taking out all of the seeds. Like that's just very much like Halloween time for me. And then besides that, like my, it's something that mostly children celebrate in the U.S. and then adults enjoy celebrating it. Like, I should say, there are obviously very different traditions. So as a child, you really enjoy it for going, getting dressed up and then going with your friends throughout the neighborhood and getting all of this candy and then coming home and fighting over, seeing who got the best candy. And then you try to trade with your friends and say, well, I'll give you this. I don't like, for example, peanut butter, so... I mean, I do like peanut butter, but I'll get all of your gummy candy if you give me all of your peanut butter. So all of this bartering takes place, which is really fun as a child. And we actually did that with our exchange student when we had him here or in the U.S., even though we were in high school, which is kind of questionable of if you should still go trick-or-treating when you're in high school. But we went with him so he could get that experience as well. So that's kind of like the younger years. And there's the, I'd say like your preteens is kind of the cutoff when it's acceptable to still go mm-hmm. trick or treating, which is going door to door and requesting or trying to get candy from your neighbors, basically. Then like in your later years, there are more Halloween parties, like your later teenage years. And then throughout your college years, very much, and young adults, very much college parties or just parties in general where you get together with your friends and just have a nice time. Everyone dresses up. Sometimes there are the best costume contests that take place. It's really fun. And then in your later years when you tend to have like families or kids, you go with your kids then trick-or-treating. Or if you don't have kids, or even if you do, people tend to sit in front of their houses. And a lot of people will set up like a bonfire for the evening and then they pass out candy to the kids. So it's fun because there's always something for you to do with friends on Halloween.
I feel like I also see a lot of people, college students at least, and I also know like high school students, I go to school in their costumes and things like that, or even like go to like Chipotle, for example.
Yes,
I think always a special where if you show up to the restaurant in a costume, you get the meal for free or get a discount or something.
Yeah. I don't know if it was still or if they still do that at Chipotle, but yeah, I remember like one year if you had like, I think it was if you had foil in your costume, then you got some sort of discount. Or I know one year I got a free burrito because I showed up in some costume. Yeah. But yeah, and you're also right with school. Like schools will have like a day where you can dress up and come to class in your Halloween costume. So yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I also know that just at the bars, I mean, it's not just the thing that stops at college. I guess it kind of depends on like what your friend circle is like as an adult. But I mean, I'm 27 now and I'm going to two Halloween parties this weekend. Yeah. I don't know if you can say I'm an adult. I mean, I'm definitely an adult, but I'm not sure if I like, maybe it's still the college phase in me.
Yeah.
Not sure. But I would say that if you go out to the bars, you'll see like people of all ages dressed up in their costumes that weekend. And also, and this is the other thing, the weekends before, because as I said, like people kind of celebrated all month long. So like there's also a lot of Halloween parties the 2 weekends before Halloween already, which to us Germans is kind of crazy. Like we would not have a Halloween party on like October 15th or anything like that.
And that's been one of the interesting things for me to observe here is like, obviously Halloween is very much an American holiday, or I don't really know if they celebrate it much in the UK. I don't think so, but it
stems. I mean, they definitely used
to. I was going to say it stems from there.
Definitely an Irish thing. Yeah.
It definitely stems from like I said, the British Isles. But for me, obviously, it's very much at least an English speaking thing. We'll say that.
Yes.
So there's talk of Halloween parties here, and people talk about like, oh, what are you doing on Halloween? But it's nothing like in the US, obviously.
No.
So I'm intrigued also to see like on the day of Halloween, how many people you actually see like in costumes. I'm guessing not too many, but mostly college students probably going to college parties that are trying to be like, do the cool thing of celebrating Halloween, even though you're in Germany.
Yeah, so like a few other things before we talk about Germany a little bit more, because like I can kind of tell you a few stories about that. Few things that I also mentioned in the podcast already that I feel like have to do with like this whole season is like the pumpkin patches in the U.S. also. As you said, the carving the pumpkins, of course, as well. But before that, in some cases, you might go to like one of those farms and then it has like this whole fall theme. So you harvest your pumpkins. In a lot of cases, they also have like the hay rice that we talked about, apple cider or like other kind of treats that they make at the farm. So like those, all of those things kind of, I really enjoy that. Like they kind of give me this really nice fall feeling. And I feel like in Germany, and I think this is because we don't really celebrate Halloween, we also don't really celebrate the fall like that. Just because I feel like we don't really have an occasion. Like we enjoy the fall, but we don't have any major fall traditions except for like collecting chestnuts and stuff like that. But that's more like you do that with your kids to keep them occupied and because it's fun, but we don't really have any events going on.
Yeah.
And I find that sad.
And that's one thing, and I think I mentioned this in the podcast before as well, like that I miss is those seasonal holidays or seasonal like events that you do. And I was just talking to my dad today and my family is going, my family does an annual fall outing together. So we all would get together and go to a pumpkin patch, eat apple fritters, drink apple cider, go get pumpkins, take a hayride. Like all of those things that you mentioned we do. And that's one thing that I'm going to really miss about not being in the US and is being able to do that with my family. Cause that's just such an integral part of the yearly calendar of I would say generally most Americans.
Yeah. And then of course, haunted houses.
And haunted corn mazes too.
Corn mazes, yeah, which are also really fun. But in Germany, we do have corn mazes. Not, I don't know. I'm sure there's some Halloween-themed corn mazes. We just have corn mazes in general. Those are like a thing. And haunted houses, I want to say, are becoming more popular. But the traditional thing in Germany all year round, really, are Geisterbahnen.
Yeah.
So ghost rides are the traditional version of haunted houses in Germany, I would say. Because I feel like I haven't really seen a lot of Geisterbahnen in the US, if any, I'm not quite sure. And in Germany, that's like the standard, and you'll have that all year round at the carnivals, at Oktoberfest, at any like spring festivals. If they have rides, there's definitely going to be at least one Geisterbahn, which just means that you'll be on a ride. It doesn't have to go fast. Usually they're pretty slow. And then traditionally, it would just be like, you know, dolls and decoration and like machines that kind of come up to you. But in the past, like I want to say 10 or 15 years, they've started to do more and more ghost rides with the real ghosts. So just like at a haunted house where like people are actually dressed up. And in Germany, at least, here I feel like the haunted houses are usually in a way that nobody touches each other. Mm-hmm. Like the ghosts don't touch you and you don't touch them. At those ghost rides sometimes, it kind of depends, but sometimes you sit like in a cage almost, and then like they'll totally touch you. They'll like go through the bars. And I hate that. And you can't run because you're in your car.
Oh my gosh.
You can't
do anything. That would not be okay with me. I like.
Yeah. And they like take a stick and like hit your cart and stuff like that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to be scared. Like those type of things can be fun, but do not touch me. That's not okay with me. It reminded me because I completely, for whatever reason, forgot about haunted houses. But I remember in middle school, we had like a Halloween festival at the school. So like there were different events like bobbing for apples, which do Germans generally know what bobbing for apples even means?
No, I don't know what that means. Actually, so, I was about to ask.
And I was, when I was doing some research, they said that this probably came from the Roman influence because the Romans had a holiday that was based around the goddess, I think, of fruit. But it's very traditional around Halloween time to go quote unquote bobbing for apples. So what that means is you have like a tank filled with water and people put a whole bunch of apples in it. And then bobbing for apples means you go with your face into the water and try to grab an apple with your mouth.
Oh, Okay, I've seen that before somewhere. Not in real life. I think I've seen it somewhere in like a show or a movie.
Not particularly COVID friendly. No. Or just hygiene friendly in general, because if you can't get the apple, then now your mouth and saliva is all over it. But yeah. But yeah, that's something that people traditionally do. But that's one of the events that they had at our fair at the school. I'm trying to think what else they had. But then they had a haunted hallway. So that was like a cool thing that you could sign up to do, is be like one of the people who was dressed up to be in the haunted hallway. And they turned off all of the lights and had everything covered in black. I remember like there was one teacher who was dressed up like who was going through like a meat grinder. So like it looked like their legs had been all grinded up or ground up. But then they were like waving their arms. But yeah, like that was another thing that we had, at least during my school years, quote unquote celebrate Halloween.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I would have liked that. But also a haunted school hallway is honestly like the worst thing you can imagine. That's like straight up out of a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one of those long hallways and then it's haunted. Ooh.
I wonder, like looking back now, how scary it truly was. But I remember at that age, like I thought it was the scariest thing to go in there.
Yeah, I bet.
Because like they made it like really scary too. But like right when you open the doors, like you would hear the sound of a chainsaw and all of these flashing lights. Like, gosh. As a middle schooler, it was something that was very frightening.
Yeah. So speaking of that, one thing that confused me a lot in the beginning, coming to the U.S. or just like seeing all these Halloween themed episodes and shows or Halloween movies or whatever, is on the one hand, Halloween is supposed to be scary. And it's about being haunted and ghosts and horror stuff and horror movies, obviously. Like, so many horror movies are on TV and in the movie theaters and stuff like that. But then, at the same time, Americans don't only dress up in scary costumes. Yeah. They dress up as anything. You'll see, like, a Super Mario costume, a unicorn costume. Then you'll see, like, a scary costume also. But it's just dressing up as anything. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I've gotten used to it now. But as a German, to us, that's always like, why would you dress up as something that's not scary if Halloween is all about being scary? Is there like an explanation to that, Josh?
I mean, like I have mentioned before, I had a relatively religious upbringing. So at least in my family, we didn't like the idea of dressing up as witches or any of like these figures that aren't like quote unquote godly things. So maybe that has something to do with it, with like a lot of the religious influence in the U.S. that you don't necessarily have as much of here in Germany. But that would be the only explanation I can think of. I mean, I personally don't necessarily like dressing up as like a super scary figure. That's not just something, maybe it's like I said, it has to do with my upbringing, but I also really enjoy dressing up as like goofy figures or it's just nice to dress up in general. But a real reason behind why it is, I think it would mostly be religious influence and people not wanting to dress up as something that's scary to children, especially too. I think more of the scary outfits, you'll get them with children as well. But like the really scary stuff with all of like the intense paint and blood, I feel like is something that's more for older kids into young adults. But
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just my perception. So let us know in the comments if you guys have an explanation for that as well. Or just, send us your explanation for why that might be.
I mean, another guess of mine would be that at least compared to Germany and other parts of Europe, we have Carnival, right? Carnival, Fasching. And so that's the time of the year when we dress up as anything. And so for us, it doesn't really make sense to have a second holiday where we just dress up as anything. Like Halloween is basically a themed carnival in a way. So like for that, you don't just dress up as anything. You have to dress up scary. And maybe because the U.S. doesn't really celebrate carnival, people just miss that. Kids especially probably just want to dress up as their favorite movie character or comic book hero or whatever. And so maybe that's also part of it, that they just wanted to have that occasion to just dress up in their favorite costume.
Yeah, that's very possible. I hadn't thought of that before. And then if that's the case, I wonder, because like Mardi Gras or Carnival is celebrated more in the South, specifically in Louisiana. I mean, you'll get celebrations all throughout the U.S., but it's not nowhere as big as in Europe, except in New Orleans.
It's not really a holiday.
New Orleans, it's a huge deal. But I wonder, like, in New Orleans, if people dress up more scary because they have that other opportunity to dress up as whatever. Probably not.
Maybe that.
But
if you guys are from the South,
yeah, let us know.
In the U.S., let us know if for that reason you kind of dress up more scary for Halloween. But I feel like Mardi Gras is like not so much connected to like what we think of when we think of Fasching or Carnival in Germany. It's more like kind of connected to the Brazil Carnival in a way. At least, would you disagree regarding like the kind of decoration and the kind of costumes that they have? I feel like.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with what you're saying. I think that there is probably a significant difference between like Carnival, especially when I think of like the Rhineland and like Cologne areas and the way that it's celebrated there and the way that people dress up compared to Mardi Gras. I've never really celebrated Mardi Gras, but what you see, at least in media from New Orleans, I think you're right that there is a significant difference.
Yeah, so I mean, they definitely celebrate the same thing. I think it's just developed kind of different traditions over time because like the Mardi Gras in the south of the U.S. it didn't really come from the German immigrants. So I think that's why it's just a little bit different. But let's talk about Halloween in Germany for a second, because people always ask me, do Germans celebrate Halloween? And the answer is kind of jein, yes jein. And no. because it's become a thing in Germany, as you also said. Like, there will be Halloween parties and you'll see like a few things here and there, but it's been more of a recent thing, like eine neumodische Erscheinung, what is what older citizens, senior citizens in Germany would say. I would say it kind of came over in the 90s. And I think that my generation was kind of one of the first generations that actually celebrated Halloween as kids. Mm-hmm. So I know that in my neighborhood that I grew up in, we were like one of the first kids that started trick-or-treating. And I had one girl in my class in elementary school. I think her parents used to live in the U.S. or like the dad had like close connections to the U.S. and celebrated American culture, and they always had Halloween parties. And I think it was like in the second or third grade or something like that that I went to my very first Halloween party at their place. And I'm pretty sure that my parents didn't really know what Halloween was at the time, and it just said like dress up scary or something like that. Or I don't even remember if we actually dressed up. I know that we went there and they had like Halloween themed like food, like the hot dogs with the like almond slices as fingernails, kind of like fingers, and then ketchup as like bloody fingers. Have you seen that before?
No, I haven't.
Maybe that's a German thing, but at most Halloween parties, you find like Halloween themed food like that that looks scary. But basically, me and my brother and one of my neighbors, we would like start going trick-or-treating, and we would do it like on actual Halloween. And there wasn't like a lot of Halloween decoration. Actually, there was probably like no Halloween decoration anywhere, maybe like one or two carved pumpkins or something. And a lot of the houses that we would
doors that we would knock on, houses that we would knock at, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, so I kind of said it right the first time. Most of the houses that we went to, the people were completely lost as to what we were doing there. So first of all, the German translation of trick or treat is süßes oder saures. So you say
sweet or sour.
Mm-hmm. Which like, sour is kind of like refers to the trick, so like something that's uncomfortable, basically. Mm-hmm. Which like the history of Halloween is kind of that there was a time when people would prank each other a lot, so that's where that comes from. And I think then like it was mainly teenagers or younger people that pranked others in the neighborhood back in the day. And then the tradition with the candy, I think, started because people got so annoyed by it because they wouldn't just prank each other, they would actually destroy stuff on other people's houses and stuff. And they would basically try and pay these people off with candy and be like, hey, if we give you candy, can you not prank us, kind of. So I think that's where it comes from. And so in German, you say süßes oder saures. But if you don't know what that means as a German, you're like, huh? What do you mean? What's up? And like a lot of the houses that we would... Yeah, a lot of the houses were like what is this? And we'd be like, oh, it's Halloween. And they'd be like, what is Halloween? What do you want here? And that always sucked for us because we were all dressed up. We had our little bags or whatever like with us to collect our candy. And then half of the places didn't even know what was going on. A lot of them actually got mad also.
Really?
Especially older people. Yeah, they'd be like, what is this, like, as I said, neumodischer Scheiß, like this new tradition. Is this like one of those American things?
Wow.
You know, or they'd be all like, oh, you're just going around collecting candy. That's not a tradition. Like, that's just unhealthy. And so over the years... more and more houses knew about like people doing this because other kids started doing it too, and they would hang up like signs saying we're not participating in this, or and they would usually kind of phrase it in a like rude way, like we're not participating in this bullshit, or don't ring the doorbell here, move on, or they would like just not even be home, turn their lights off and stuff like that.
Oh man.
So let's just say it's been a bumpy road celebrating Halloween in the like mid early 2000s.
That's
in Germany.
That's why you moved to the US, so you could celebrate Halloween properly.
I could finally collect my candy. Yeah.
No, that was going to be one of my questions with your Halloween, like with the trick or treating here in Germany. At least in my neighborhood, you always knew who you could ring the doorbell at because they would have their light on outside. If they weren't participating, they would just turn off their light and you wouldn't go knock and you would leave it alone for the most part, unless you wanted to just be a jerk preteen and go around and ring people's doorbells that didn't want to be bothered. But yeah, how I guess it was just you went to every door and taught people what Halloween was.
Unless, like, if people had the sign up that they weren't participating, or you just, like, remembered from last year that they are not happy with that tradition. But no, I feel like a lot of lights outside of German houses have, like, the movement sensor.
Uh-huh.
The motion sensor. Oh, my God. Words, Feli. And so I don't think they would be able to do that because the light will go on either way. And no, I mean, at least like back in the day when I was a kid, that had not been an established thing. But I would guess that probably over time, these German neighborhoods have kind of developed their own system as well, because I know that kids have been doing this more and more every year. So because they see it in American media, you know, they want to do it too. They see it in all these shows that they watch. They see it in movies. They just grow up with this tradition of Halloween, and then they're like, why can't I celebrate Halloween? Like, why don't we do this? Obviously, for kids, it's like super tempting. You can go around and collect candy.
Yeah, of course. I have to say, though, like a lot of like the Germans that I know from, specifically like a little further out, not in the city, they're pretty anti-Halloween. They're like, no, my kid doesn't need he eats enough candy all year round. He doesn't need another opportunity to go, and I'm not bothering my neighbors with that. And it's not even German, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so I feel like you get
what I've been saying. Yeah.
So you get a pretty mixed reaction when it comes to Halloween here, even nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just think that definitely it's become more normal, but that is still a thing that people are kind of opposed to this new tradition, especially since I think they just don't really see a lot of sense behind it, especially as parents. But yeah, besides that, there was definitely no dressing up in schools or anything like that, because as I said, that's Fasching for us. Like in Munich, we call it Fasching. In other parts of Germany, they call it Fastnacht or Karneval. But that's usually around February or January. And that is a big thing. In Bavaria, we even have a whole week of school break for that.
Yeah.
There's holidays. It's this huge thing. So like for that, yeah, we dress up for school. We go everywhere to these parties and dress up for Halloween. We usually dressed up for like that one night, so Halloween night, to go trick-or-treating. And then later on, there would be like those parties, as you said, also like student parties, college parties, and high school, just to like have a cool theme, to drink, dress up in a cool costume and stuff like that. But as I said earlier, most of those costumes would then be very scary. And if you go to the stores in Germany around that time, all you'll find, if anything, it's like scary stuff. So like you won't find just regular costumes during that time. Mm-hmm. I want to say that that's really all I can share about Halloween. I mean, I also would go to like club events later on when I was older. So like at nightclubs to party. So they would usually have something. But even there, some people would just have like a spider web on their cheek, and that's their costume. And you're like, come on, come
on. A little more effort, people.
Couldn't even, just dress up for one.
I have to say that sounds like one of my type of costumes, though, because I'm not the biggest into dressing up. So I normally go for the easy costumes, like a onesie. so putting a little spider web on my cheek would be sufficient for me. But yeah, I agree. You have to do a little more.
I just love how in the US, like, people do these group costumes and couples costumes, and they put so much thought into it. Many people make their costumes themselves.
They
plan it for months and for weeks. And I'm not saying I want to do that necessarily. Yeah. I will say I have a cool costume this year, but I like seeing that. I think it's so much fun to go to a party and everyone has a really cool thought out costume.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a cool thing. I like the effort. The Preis-Leistungs-Verhältnis for me is not quite there, but at the same time,
how do you say that in English?
There's no equivalent. It's just not worth it.
It's such a German concept.
Exactly. The cost benefit analysis at the end of the day it doesn't quite work for me to go all out, but it's definitely something that I appreciate. Like, wow, they really put some effort into their costume, and it is fun to see what people come up with, what ideas. And like, I know, for example, there are going to be a ton of Squid Game costumes this year, for example. So it's always fun then looking back at the previous years. It helps you remember like what were like the popular things in media and just in pop culture that year based off of the costumes that people wear.
100%. Do you have any other questions about Halloween in Germany?
I don't think so. I'm just really excited to see what my experiences are here. Hopefully by the time Halloween comes around, I'll be healthy enough that I can celebrate still.
Yeah, hopefully. Have you seen any decorations yet?
Not really. I've seen pumpkins, just a few pumpkins.
Okay.
Randomly at work, there just was a box of pumpkins that someone brought. But what exactly was meant with that, I had no clue.
I mean, at the same time, in Germany, like, one thing is that we definitely do, and that is not connected to Halloween, is just fall time is pumpkin season. That's just a fact. And so we will have a lot of just pumpkin-related dishes, just like we have, like, asparagus season in the spring. Fall season is, like, pumpkin season, and so many people just buy pumpkins to cook with. And so there will be a lot of Kürbiscremesuppen, so pumpkin cream soups and
delicious,
you know, other pumpkin dishes. So maybe it was more for that rather than decoration.
probably, especially since I work in a little bit more of the countryside where people grow a lot of produce. So yeah. But no, I'm really excited to see what Halloween is like here. Keeping my expectations low, but Halloween isn't my favorite holiday anyway, so I don't feel like I'm missing too much by being here, but at the same time, it'll be a fun time, especially to see my friends dressed up as in costumes, because we're going to be going to a Halloween party, obviously.
Yeah.
But
is it a German person hosting the party, or is it like a public
party?
To be
honest, we haven't really figured that out yet.
Oh.
But we are going to find a party to go to, even if that means
you
crashing
will.
One.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. All right. I feel like with that, let's get to our second ghost story.
Yes. Boom, boom. One night a few years ago, we got over a foot and a half of snow overnight. We live so far from the main roads, and on the weekend, I knew our roads would remain unplowed for quite some time. I went out my back deck door to look at the snow-draped trees and the still heavily falling flurries and take some pictures when I noticed footprints leading to my door, then turning around and leaving. I looked and saw that they came from my neighbor's side, and I thought that one of their more delinquent kids played a joke as my sledding tube on the railing was popped. I decided I'd wait till later, as it was early, to call their parents. I went on Facebook, and after scrolling for a bit, I noticed one of my neighbors closer to the entrance posted, "Did someone knock for me or something at my back door?" I immediately called her, talked, and told her I have no idea. I called the first house on the entrance and told him what was going on. He went and checked, and sure enough, they were there too. Everyone started calling everyone else. I called the family at the far end, and they told me that there was none there. Then I got a call from my next door neighbor. She called the woman that lives next to the end house. She said that there were footprints that led to her door, but none that led away. We already called the police by this point, but we called them back and said it's an emergency. They told us the roads are still all unplowed and they can't send a plow truck to clear the way as they are a privately owned company. The woman was losing it, so one of the husbands, a huge bear of a man, across the road from her texted her to say he was coming over to invite her over. He came and she left. We put up one of the guy's live feed motion cam facing all of the exits. Nothing came out, so they are completely observing this house right now. Around 7 p.m., a plow truck came, as well as three cop cars. The couple she was staying with and her went to her house and stood in the doorway as the police search. They found nothing. She begged them to keep looking, so they did. Two of the cops went into the basement again. This time, only one came up. He took her to the side room, and we could hear hysterical crying. By now, we were all out there. Me and a few of the other guys started towards the house when several police confronted us. They told us they had found someone hiding under a cover opening in the stairwell that she didn't even know existed. A few minutes later, a scruffy man, screaming and kicking, came out in cuffs and was led away. In his little camp, they found blankets she had just cleaned and put away in the room next to hers. She stayed in other people's houses for a long time before going back. Even then, she couldn't stay alone. She sold the house the next summer.
That was it?
I love that that's your reaction to my stories. My stories are horrible.
I couldn't tell. Like, was that the end?
But
like,
can you,
she sold the house the next summer.
I mean, there's another little paragraph that it says here, but all it says is he turned out to be a thrill-seeking junkie who was on probation for assault against a family member. The cops told us that they feel like he didn't want to stay at his apartment after a fight with his roommate and drove off in his roommate's car from the county over and got stuck in the unplowed roads. And that's why you should always make sure you lock your doors. But can you imagine, like, you see these footprints coming to your house and nothing leading away and... like all of the neighbors have that, and then the police freaking find someone in your house, in a compartment in your house that you didn't know existed.
That's scary as fuck.
Yeah, thank you.
I would not want to sleep there either. But no, those are real stories, right? These Reddit people, like,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So your stories are more of like the made up ones and more a little more mysterious.
Yes, because, I mean, there is also real stories, of course, in German, but these are like the stories that we would tell each other back in the day when we were like younger and you have like your flashlight underneath your face. And so this now I'm like telling one of the creepier stories. I think most people know this story, at least if you were ever a kid in Germany, or at least like in my generation, I want to say this was a very common story. So it is called Der Hund. So again, we're going to put the time codes down below if you want to skip the German part, or just listen for like a couple minutes. Es lebte einmal eine alte Frau in einem kleinen Häuschen. Sie war schon lange verwitwet und ihre Kinder besuchten sie nur noch selten. Aber sie besaß einen Hund, den sie über alles liebte. Dieser schlief immer unter ihrem Bett und bevor die Frau einnickte, streckte sie die Hand unters Bett, damit ihr treuer Begleiter diese ablenken konnte. Auch an jenem verhängnisvollen Abend vollzog sie dieses Ritual. Doch sie konnte einfach nicht einschlafen. Von irgendwoher hörte sie ein leises Tropfgeräusch. Tropf, Tropf, Tropf. Irgendwann hatte sie genug, quälte sich ächzend aus dem Bett und machte sich auf die Suche nach der Ursache des Geräuschs. Als sie die Badezimmertür öffnete, erstarrte sie vor Schock. Ihr Hund hing tot von der Decke und aus einer klaffenden Wunde tropfte Blut auf die Badezimmerkacheln. Ihr entfuhr ein lauter Schrei und sie stürmte die Treppe hinunter, um die Polizei zu alarmieren. Als sie ihre Haustür öffnen wollte, sah sie einen angeklebten Zettel. Als sie ihn las, wich jegliche Farbe aus ihrem Gesicht. Auf dem kleinen Papierfetzen stand: Auch Mörder können Hände lecken.
Boah. Deine Geschichten sind so wesentlich besser als meine. Ich hätte mir bessere aussuchen sollen.
Das war nicht mal die beste
sollen.
Variante dieser Geschichte. Ich habe das Gefühl, wir haben das früher noch viel spannender erzählt. Ich glaube, eigentlich geht die Geschichte so, sie geht in den ersten Raum, findet nichts. Sie geht in den zweiten Raum, findet nichts. Dann geht sie irgendwann ins Badezimmer und hört es tropfen. Also irgendwie so, glaube ich. Aber ja, es ist natürlich
da hätte
auch
man
nicht
doch
wahr.
Ein bisschen mehr Spannung schaffen können. Aber es war auf jeden Fall besser als meine Geschichte. Aber man muss dazu sagen, dass meine Geschichten echt sind.
Yeah, and to go back to English, so the story that I just told was called The Dog, and basically the story goes, there's an old widow, She has a dog that she loves very much, and every night when she goes to sleep, the dog sleeps underneath her bed and it always licks her hand. And that one night she goes to bed, the dog licks her hand, but then she can't fall asleep because she hears dripping somewhere. And so she gets up and searches for the reason for the dripping. And she goes into the bathroom and sees her dog hung up. It's been murdered, and the blood is, it's like hung up on the ceiling, and the blood is dripping down onto the tiles in the bathroom.
It's horrible.
And then she goes downstairs to call the cops, and she finds a note at the front door saying, "Murderers can lick hands too."
It's so bad. I hate that. Ugh.
All right. Sorry, guys, if any of you are pretty sensitive to scary stories. Of course, the two stories that I told were not true. So maybe that helps you a little bit. Those are just made up stories.
Depending on which stories creeped you out more. But yeah, that is it for our episode then on Halloween and kind of just some of the fall traditions.
Halloween. Halloween or Halloween. Hopefully we kind of like gave you this really good Halloween spirit now to get ready for this weekend. Hopefully you guys can celebrate Halloween if you like Halloween. I know a lot of people also don't, but if you do, hopefully you get to celebrate it this weekend in a way.
We didn't even talk about candy corn. How did I not talk about candy corn?
Shit.
I mean, there isn't really that much to say about candy corn besides it's a candy that looks like the corn. And that's it. That's candy corn.
Like,
but that's super very typical? Much that's very much a tradition in the U.S. Yeah, it's very typical of like fall and Halloween time. Sorry, I just got really excited about it because, like I said, it's so typical for me at least around Halloween, and I didn't even mention it. So look up candy corn.
Okay, we'll do.
And you'll see why I just freaked out. So if you want to reach out to us, if you enjoyed this episode, or if you want to comment on any of the things that we said and let us know some of your Halloween traditions and experiences where you're from, or if you have something that's similar to Halloween around this time of year, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can reach out to us via our email, which is understandingtrainstation@gmail.com. Another way that you can reach out to us is by sending us a message on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at understandingtrainstation. And what else can they do, Faili?
You guys can support us if you want to on patreon.com/understandingtrainstation, or you can buy us a pumpkin spice latte or any other drink on buymeacoffee.com/UTS podcast.
Or candy corn. Yeah.
Buy us some candy corn. I've never had that, so I guess I'm going to have to try that. Yeah, and right now there's no merch online, actually, so otherwise I would have said that because the shop is currently in a fall break, but it'll be back for Thanksgiving sometime. So in the future, you'll be able to get Understanding Train Station merch again, too. But for now, I would just say happy Halloween, everyone.
And I'll say happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Have a great weekend. And if you're confused why things sound a little weird right now, Josh and I have been kind of delayed on Zoom for like the last 20 minutes. It's been kind of annoying. Yeah. I think it's the ghosts of Halloween that are kind of messing with our internet connection right now.
Exactly. We're giving away all of the secrets of Halloween and they're trying to stop us.
Yeah. But that's why we're going to wrap it up now. And you guys will hear us in 2 weeks on Thursday. Tschüss.
Ciao.